Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You were listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here with you. Thrilled, delighted to be here with you on this wonderful Halloween Thursday. We have a lot to get into over the course of the next 4 hours. We are going to talk a little K-State football. For all intents and purposes, Missouri is eliminated from the college football playoff. KU has been eliminated from the college football playoff. Before Labor Day, they were out of it. We are going to talk to Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com. They're the only team locally that still has a shot. We're going to learn a little bit more about the Wildcats as we are heading into November here coming up in the next 24 hours about what K-State needs to do over the course of the final month of the college football season to find themselves playing for a national championship. We'll talk a little Chiefs. We'll talk a little Halloween. We'll have a little bit of fun here. We'll also give you a couple of chances to win some prizes. You know, today doesn't only have to be little ones getting prizes. We got prizes to give away. We got pizza, kind of like right now.
Pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. Call number 6, 913-586-7965. They win a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They got locations all over the metro area. I'm talking about Waldo, Belton, North KC, OP, and Midtown. Pizza Tasio is a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wines. So whether you're having a little Halloween get together, you need a whole pie, or just a slice or two after a party, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. I also need you to tell one friend. It'd be great if you would tell two friends, but I only need you to tell one friend that if you want some of the best pizza in Kansas City, and you're also a little bit sad today that the baseball season is over as the Yankees were eliminated last night at the hands of the Los Angeles Dodgers, then the best place to celebrate that is right here with us on 96.5 The Fan. All right. I am starting to acknowledge that maybe I am starting to become the old man who yells at the cloud. I will remember the first time that I ever felt old. Rob, I went to go see Ray Schremer in concert. This was back during the Mannequin Challenge days. This was when Ray Schremer was the biggest group in the world, this side of the Migos in One Direction. And it was at the Uptown. You know how the Uptown is. In the front, it's all the GA. In the back, it's all the seats. This show, it was just, you get in. You can sit in the front. You can sit in the back. You can sit upstairs. You just buy a ticket to the concert. I got my tickets to the show. I was excited to see Ray Schremer. I get in there, and there were two classes of people. Up front, it looked like they were having a lot of fun, but I realized that the crowd skewed a little bit younger. And then I looked to my right, and it was people that looked about the same age as me, and a majority of those people were sitting down. At that moment, I made a decision. Younger me would have went to the front. A little bit older, wiser me, stay with the old folks. I'm starting to have more and more of those moments. Now, I had a take very similar to this in the middle of the year, and you guys shouted and yelled at me for this opinion, which is kind of par for the course on this show. But it is time for me to dust off a classic and bring it back because I think this is something that a majority of you is going to agree with. Can anybody tell me why Halloween is always on October 31st and why we can't come together as the adults and now we can make a decision that we can determine what day Halloween is going to be on. Because remember, I had this take about the 4th of July that we should just rebrand the 4th of July and just call it Independence Day, and then we can decide what day that it is. You guys told me, no, we can't do this. We have to do it on July 4th because that's when they signed the Declaration of Independence. There was no document signed saying that Halloween has to be on October 31st. You're telling me that Halloween is a day that we celebrate for the kiddos. So why in the world do we have a holiday that happens in the middle of the week? You got to dress your little one up like Snow White or Cinderella or a mummy. They go to school. They get all hopped up on candy. They then come home. You then take them to go get more candy. They're not going to bed until 9, 10, 11 o'clock. And then you got to take them to school the next day? No. There's a lot of political ads going around right now. A lot of political campaigns going around now. If I was running for president, I would run with one mission. Let's make Halloween the final Friday of October. Your kid can still get all of the same enjoyment, and you can have a little better peace of mind. Your kid still gets to wear his costume to school and gets to show all his friends that he's Buzz Lightyear or a ladybug or whatever you have signed your son and daughter up to be. They can stay up a little bit later because it's Friday night, and then Saturday morning, everybody can sleep in. But no, we've allowed Halloween to be on a Tuesday, Halloween to be on a Wednesday. Rob, who does this serve? I'm saying right now that we have the ability to make the rules. I'm going to tell you a story, Rob, about when I was a kid. My mom, I went to go ask my mom if I could have cereal. And she said, no, cereal is only 4 in the morning. You go get a snack. Well, one day I came home and my mom was eating cereal and it was not the morning time. And I said, Mom, what you told me that cereal was for the morning. And my mom looked at me deadpan and said, I bought it. At that moment, I realized if you are the adult, you're the person that makes the rules. She paid for the cereal. She can eat the cereal. We're the ones that buy the candy. We're the ones that take the little ones to go trick-or-treating. We are the ones that make the rule. Why can't we change the day to Halloween? I know some of you feel me out there. Some of you are teachers, and you know you don't want to have to deal with those kids tomorrow who've been eating Skittles all night. You know you don't want to deal with that tomorrow. You got to deal with it 2 days. You got to deal with it on Thursday, and you got to deal with it on Friday. So, Rob, I'm saying right now, why can't we come together as a community? Why can't we come together as a people? Come together. And let's make Halloween the final Friday of October. That's my political message. Are you with me, Rob? Are you with me?
I am with you. I want this on the record, though. I believe Shawnee Mission, Blue Valley, and Olathe are all schoolless tomorrow. So I'm cool with it being on a Thursday if there's no school tomorrow for the little ones. Can we make that addendum? Hey, if we're going to give the kids a day off, Thursday's fine. My one pushback, my one, hey, maybe that's a reason to not have Halloween every year on a Friday, is wouldn't that just open it up to becoming even more of a drinking holiday than it is? And do we want little ones wandering the streets at night if the adults have been at the bar, if the adults have been popping tabs because it's Halloween and we're dressed up? Like, for whatever reason, Halloween has graduated from college only to, if you go to a bar last weekend and this week for Halloween party, it is shoulder to shoulder, and it is possible having that Friday night crowd and the kiddos getting peanut butter cups in the Friday night crowd don't mix. So I like the idea. We've got to find a way to keep the two worlds separate, but keep them apart.
Yeah, but a lot of these schools have tomorrow. I'm looking at the text line right now. Olathe's got school tomorrow. Sure, some school districts do that, but there's a lot of people who still have to go to school tomorrow. Someone on the text line, 913-586-7965, CDOT, so by your logic, should we all just change our birthdays to be more convenient? People do that all the time. How many times has your birthday been a Tuesday and you're like, you know what, I'll just wait till the weekend to celebrate it? Say, change our birthdays to make it more convenient. Your girlfriend has a birthday month. She's been celebrating her birthday for 3 weeks. Yes, we absolutely change our birthdays to make it more convenient. Yes, that's what I'm saying. I understand not changing Easter. I understand that. You can't just celebrate Easter on a Tuesday. I get that. If you want to keep Christmas on December 25th, fine. This is what we do with Thanksgiving. We all love Thanksgiving. We don't know when they landed on Plymouth Rock. We just decided one day, you know what? Let's just make Thanksgiving a Thursday. That's great. Let's just make it a Thursday. It could be different days. Some days it's the 21st. Some days it's the 26th. But let's just make it a Thursday. Everybody follows it. Everybody knows when it is. Everybody looks forward to it. It's great. I'm telling you right now that that's what I want to do. That's the political message. Let's make Halloween the final Friday of October. That's my position. Rob, you know what I would like to do? I would like today to celebrate some candies that don't nearly get enough attention. Snickers get a lot of love, right? Peanut M&Ms get a lot of love. There's a lot of candies that get a lot of praise, and that's fine because they're great. But what I want to do today, Rob, is I want to celebrate the candies that are playing their role in their position. They're the seventh, eighth guy off the bench. They're the Jerod Dysons. You still love Jerod Dyson? Sure, you don't love him like he's Eric Hosmer, but Jerod Dyson is an important part of this community. Rob, give me a little bit of music because today, periodically, I'm going to celebrate the candies that deserve a little bit more love. Let me tell you the first candy that deserves more love and more respect. You know the name of the candy? It's Raisinets. Far too long, I've sat here on the text line and I've seen a lot of slander towards Raisinets. And it's unacceptable. There's no reason for it. Raisinets is a premium candy. Goes great with any movie. A little popcorn, a little chocolate. You're getting healthy raisins. It's an all-purpose. There's not many candies that are giving you great nutritional value the way that Raisinets are. And playing their role and playing their position. They're playing a great two-man game for any movie night. Rob, for the first candy I would like to nominate, Raisinets as a very underrated candy that deserves far more respect than it's being given by everybody.
Ever put it in your popcorn? Had a little salty and sweet snack?
Elite. You can't do that with every candy. Not every candy has that versatility.
I mean, it's not as good as jalapenos in the popcorn, but it's still good in the popcorn.
Turn the music off. What'd you say?
You never done that? Sometimes at the movie theaters, you know how they have the little jalapeno and butter station? You put a little jalapeno in the popcorn, roll it up, shake it up, so you get a little salty, a little spicy.
You know I don't like hot. You know that. Text line 913-586-7965. Today doesn't have to be a day of hate. It doesn't have to be a day of hot takes. Today is a day of appreciation. That's what today is. The day of appreciation. And I'm going to give you candies over the course of the day that don't nearly get enough respect. They're going to get their respect today on the show. Coming up on the other side, let's talk about Thursday night football. We got the Texans and the Jets. And something is off about tonight's game. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
All right, Rob. I am asking you this not because I plan on making a bet on tonight's game, but I'm pretty sure that there's going to be a lot of you that lay down a little bit of money for Thursday night football. Maybe you don't have kids. Maybe you plan on doing your Halloween trick-or-treating and you plan on coming back for the second half of the game and watching it. It actually should be a pretty decent and competitive game between the Houston Texans and the New York Jets. The Texans are certainly in that Super Bowl conversation, and the Jets, well, they're the Jets. But something is off about this game, even if you were somebody that doesn't wager on the outcome of these games. The Jets are a small favorite in this game. They're a 2-point favorite. So it's a coin flip game, but Vegas has decided that the Jets have a real small advantage in this. I was perusing the internet earlier, and somebody who represents DraftKings says that there is 4 times the amount of money on Houston than there is for the Jets in this. Now, I know that some of you believe that the spread is not indicative of who they think is going to win, and the goal is to get money on each side, even though that very, very rarely happens in Vegas. The public is very, very strong on the Houston Texans in this game. This is my question, Rob. Text line 913-586-7965. Does the spread say more about how the public feels about the Houston Texans, or does the spread say how the public feels more about the New York Jets? Because the public has been very, very slow to let the Jets go. And if you want to look ahead at the Jets schedule for just a little bit, if you are holding out hope that the Jets can get back in this thing and turn things around, they have to win this game. And if the Jets win this game, you know what? You can really squint and you can see a path in which they potentially turn things around. They got Houston at home. They would get a mini bye week. They have on the road against Arizona. That's a game that the Jets could win. They have Indianapolis right now that has their own form of quarterback issues. They then have a bye week, and then they have a home game against the Seattle Seahawks. I'm not telling you that the Jets are going to get back in this thing. I'm simply saying that if you were somebody who was still holding out hope for the Jets, there is no pathway to them turning things around that does not include them beating the Houston Texans at home tonight on Thursday Night Football, especially a Houston team that is as banged up as they are. No Nico Collins, who was maybe the best receiver in the league before the injury. Stephon Diggs tore his ACL. We're talking about a Texans team that is coming in wounded on a short week on the road. But they're also a 5-2 football team that has been one of the better teams in the National Football League. Rob, do you think that this spread says more about how the public feels about the Jets and their reluctancy to kind of let the Jets go? Or do you think this is the public saying, hey, we're not fully bought into the Houston Texans yet?
I think it says way more about the Texans, because let's do this exercise. Let's look at every other AFC division leader. If they were on the road against the Jets on Thursday night, would they be a dog? The Chiefs, who are banged up. Being banged up is not unique to the Texans. The Chiefs are banged up. They'd be on a short week. They'd be playing the Jets on the road. Do you think the Chiefs would be a dog on Thursday Night Football to the Jets?
No chance.
The Baltimore Ravens, I believe they're leading the division. If not, Pittsburgh Steelers. Both teams with flaws will be on a short week coming off difficult games. Would either of them be a dog at MetLife? No. Buffalo. Buffalo has exactly 0 weapons. I guess they have Amari Cooper now, so they have some weapons. They're a flawed team. That's a division game. Do we think the Bills on a short week would be a dog against the Jets? I don't. So I think this says way more about the Texans, because being banged up and playing on the road on a short week is something that just happens in the NFL. But if the Texans are going to be in the echelon of the Bills, the echelon of the Chiefs, the echelon of the Ravens, the teams that we think those are the 3 contenders for the Super Bowl out of the AFC, they would all be favorites tonight with the same problems against the New York Jets. So to me, this line says way more about how the public feels about Houston and how they don't believe Houston is one of those teams yet, more so than it says anything about the New York Jets, because we kind of know the deal with the Jets. I just think they're getting a small advantage because of those advantages.
I will say this about tonight's game between the Texans and the Jets. I think today is sort of one of those moments for CJ Stroud. Playing quarterback in the NFL, something is always going to go wrong. That's why I really push back on this. Well, you can win if everything goes perfect. Well, that's not really how football works. Something always goes wrong. There's a drop. There's a hold. There's an injury. There's a something. And you, as the quarterback, you have to be the problem solver. You have to be the one that moves past all of the nonsense and still figures out a way for your team to win. This is the spot where a lot of young quarterbacks, they go on the road, they play poorly, and they lose. You now have C.J. Stroud, and you were talking about that this team is going on the road, shorthanded, banged up, don't have all their weapons, don't have all their pieces, and they're a slight underdog in this game. If you're a Super Bowl contending team, if you're a top five quarterback in the league, if you're one of those guys, the way that I think a lot of people believe that C.J. Stroud is, you figure out a way to win this game. I've seen Lamar Jackson win this game before. I've seen Joe Burrow at times win this game before. I've seen Josh Allen win this game. Has C.J. Stroud had a game like this? The odds are a little bit stacked against you. The other guy has more firepower than you do. He's got Breece Hall. He's got Braylon Allen. He's got his full complement of wide receivers. He's got his tight end. He's got all of his pieces. They maybe have a little bit better defense than you do. C.J. Stroud is going into a gunfight, and the other gunslinger has a little bit more ammunition than he does. That's playing quarterback in the National Football League. We all have kind of anointed Stroud as being next up, as being one of those guys. This is one of those opportunities, nationally televised game, standalone game. You're playing a marquee team, at least a name and a brand, like the New York Jets. I want to see what version of C.J. Stroud that we get today. Is this a guy that just figures out a way and grinds and they figure out a victory? I'm not expecting him to go out there and throw for 300 yards and two touchdowns, but can you throw for 210 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, and your team just figures out a way to go on the road and steal a win? Because Vegas is telling you that they think the other team is a slight favorite over you, even though the public is heavily on you. Like, if this was one of those things, how I think the general public looks at gambling, where Vegas is trying to get money on both sides, this line would have been moving further and further in the Texans' favor over the course of the last 72 hours. It hasn't. It has moved further and further in the Jets' favor because of this. I think that really goes to show you that this just feels like one of those real dangerous spots. It seems like the Texans could be walking into something tonight at MetLife.
You know, I'm not saying, we talked earlier on the show, I can't believe it was yesterday or the day before, about sometimes what you are in college is what you are in the NFL. And that's just the nature of the beast sometimes. C.J. Stroud didn't win this game a lot in college. Like, he was the quarterback for Ryan Day, and Ryan Day is known in college football circles as the guy who comes up short. When it was Georgia in a playoff game, and it's time to go head-to-head, mano-a-mano with Stetson Bennett, C.J. Stroud lost. When it was, hey, Michigan, go win, and you're in the college football playoff. You're at home, you're at the horseshoe. He lost. Hey, big road game, big test, rivalry game. You're in Ann Arbor. Go get a win, C.J. Stroud. He lost. So if we're of the belief what happens in college sometimes translates to the league, like we talked about with Anthony Richardson, then C.J. Stroud, the trend is he loses tonight. It's time to go be the man, be the guy, and the limelight's on you. He tends to fold in that moment. So I'm curious if that's just, hey, I was under Ryan Day's umbrella and he just loses these games, but I'm different. Or if C.J. Stroud's going to be what C.J. Stroud was in college, which is biggest game, biggest moment, fold up shop.
Yeah, no, we'll certainly find out today. I'm really excited to watch tonight's Thursday night football game between the Texans and the Jets. I'll watch it after all of the Halloween festivities have concluded itself. All right, Rob, can you cue me up a little bit of music? Because periodically over the course of the day, I'm going to salute candies that have for far too long not been given the credit that they are due. Sure, everybody loves Reese's peanut butter cups. Everybody loves Snickers and Twix. I'm not telling you something that you don't know. Twizzlers, a very popular candy. But there are some candies that don't get the respect, don't get the love, don't get the shine, the attention that they deserve. We have already put Raisinets into the Hall of Fame as just a quality candy. It shows its purpose. An elite movie theater snack. It is time for you to know what the second candy on my list is, Rob. Give me some inspirational music. You can visualize Rocky right now running up those stairs. The underdog. And that's what this next candy is. It's an underdog. Whoppers. And no, I'm not talking about Burger King. I'm talking about Whoppers. They come in that milk crate. They have shown you they can go big, they can go small. They could play different lineups. You need them to play small ball, they can do that. If you need them to run a high-low like KU back in 2012, they can do that. They come in that little fun size bag where you get like three or four of them, but then you also can get them in the milk carton. Now, you got to make sure your teeth is in order. Make sure you do your open enrollment and make sure that your chompers are in full order, because one wrong move there and you can really hurt yourself. So this is a candy that requires a little bit of skill, a little bit of finesse. But you know what? That malt chocolate does the trick every single time. Rob, I'll tell you a story. When I was a kid, when I was in elementary school, we had to do a school project. We had to write a letter to our favorite company telling them why they were our favorite. You want to know who I wrote a letter to? The people that make Whoppers. They sent me a whole crate full of them as a kid. You know how happy I was? I was like Chocolate Boy from Hey Arnold. Whoppers, I salute you for all that you've done in this game. You don't get the respect that you deserve coming off the bench, giving quality minutes, playing great defense. Whoppers.
I don't know if your school had this, but my school had this. The day after Halloween, you could bring a bag of candy and you could donate it because, like,
here you go. You're about to start hating. I feel it coming.
I don't like this. You're about to start hating. You make a little Ziploc bag. And you're like, I'll donate it. And, you know, the school took part. It was a great little thing for the schools to do. Boy, oh boy, was that donation crate full of Whoppers.
People don't appreciate greatness.
What kind of sicko kid is like, ooh, I'd love them. Was it malted milk balls, whatever it is?
No, the problem
is... 150 years old? They're gross.
No, the problem is people don't see greatness. People don't see greatness until it's gone. That's their problem. Then they got to look back. They're like, oh man, I had this great thing right in front of me, and I was too worried about other things. They don't know what they have. There's so many great candies that have been overlooked, but not anymore. This show, this platform, we are going to respect those candies. We respect Weathers Original on this show. That's what we respect. We respect Blow Pops on this show. They're going to get their credit. They're going to get their nomination. Rob, is there a candy that you would like to nominate for this segment before we move on and play what Patrick Mahomes had to say earlier today? Oh, wow. You got one. All right. Let's do it.
I got one ready to go. Bottle caps. Bottle caps are fire, and they get a bad rep. I don't know why they have a bad rep.
Why did I let you talk?
Bottle caps are low-key incredible. We got a whole spectrum of flavors. You got your cherry, you got your grape, you got your orange, all staples of the candies. But you got a root beer flavor and a cola flavor? How many candies are giving you root beer flavor nowadays? Not enough. Bottle caps. They've been holding it down. They come like a little bag. You get like 8 or 10 in there. Fantastic. I would be trading out Milky Way and Three Musketeers to pack in the bottle caps. People will be hating on bottle caps, but they, low-key, are a great candy. You talk about bang for your buck with those nasty Whoppers. I'm telling you, for nothing, you're getting 5, 6, 7, 8 in one of those little bags. Bottle caps. Phenomenal.
Rob, have you seen the movie Drumline?
I have.
Do you remember? You can fade the music. I don't even want you talking about bottle caps anymore over that song. I don't even want you doing this anymore. Do you remember in the movie Drumline, whenever the band director was like, why do we rehearse? Why do we prepare, get here at 10:30, 11 o'clock to go over the show if you don't understand the concept of the segments? The purpose of the segment is underappreciated candies, not trash. It's two completely different things. We're paying respect to the Travis Relaforts. That's what we're paying respect to. The guys that would give you 10, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, play lockdown defense. That's what we're giving respect to. And you weren't paying attention in the meeting when we talked. Bottle caps?
I don't know why you're hating on bottle caps.
Let's move forward.
It's a good... You know what? This all stems from your weird hate of root beer.
Let's move forward. Something's wrong over there.
I don't know where your childhood went. You probably didn't even have root beer floats as a kid.
I hate root beer, actually.
Of course you do.
Hate it.
This is the problem. This is why you don't respect a nice bottle cap, because you're going to shake open that box and that root beer one's going to be there, and for some reason you're going to dislike that tasty snack.
Rob, I'm starting to think now, and you know I love you to death. I don't know if we would have been friends in high school now. You want to know why I don't think we would have been friends? Because I can just imagine, Rob, you got a car. You probably got a car first day you turned 16. I met Papa Britton. Great guy. Handed you the keys. And we're driving. I look at you and say, man, I'm hungry. I want something to eat. You're like, oh, man, I got you. And then you're like, hey, where do you want to eat? And I'm like, man, I don't care. You pick. We drove past McDonald's. We drove past Chipotle, Panda Express. And you pulled up at the A&W Long John Silver combination. And that would have just ended our friendship. We'd have been boys too, man. You stopped at the A&W Long John Silver combo for a 4:30 p.m. snack? No. Unacceptable. Flag on the play. Holding. Holding. That's what it is. Holding. It's bad. It's bad. Let's move forward, all right? Let's move forward. Now that you know the purpose of the segment, it's to pay appreciation to underappreciated candies, not bad candies, not the worst candies. So now we're on the same page, and I appreciate that. I thought we had that figured out earlier. We didn't have it figured out. Now that we do, let me play for you what Patrick Mahomes had to say. Patrick Mahomes met with the media earlier today. So there was a story yesterday. It's now been confirmed by a lot of different people. Patrick Mahomes, his wife, and the other co-owners of the Kansas City Current, they met with the bigwigs of the WNBA about bringing an expansion team to Kansas City. Here's what Patrick Mahomes had to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we want to get basketball to Kansas City in general, and then WNBA and the success that they've had this last season and these last few seasons, it's kind of a no-brainer. I mean, to try to get a WNBA team in Kansas City to this fan base. I mean, you see it if you talk about Kansas, University of Kansas basketball, the Chiefs, or whatever it is, the city of Kansas City is going to come out and they're going to fill the stadium. And so it was cool that we were able to get this soccer team, this women's soccer team here in the Current, and they're going into the playoffs now, and you see the support that they have. And so let's try to get a WNBA team in here as well, and kind of that same type ownership group. And they've done the Current the right way, and I want to continue to work with them to take that next step and get a WNBA team here. Just like any other business, you have to kind of pick and choose how to expand. You want to expand as fast as you can, but you want to do it in a way that's profitable for them, but also good for the players and the quality of the sport. And so, obviously, you've seen this last few years, the WNBA has really grown. And so we feel like Kansas City is a great place to continue that growth, but we have to battle with other cities to prove why we can sustain and have a great franchise here.
I usually don't take a lot of issue to anything that the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs had to say. He's a friend of the show. Why did he mention KU basketball in there? Why? KU basketball has a great track record of supporting basketball in Kansas City.
Fact or fiction, that stadium's full every game. Big facts. I'll answer
for
you.
Lawrence, I've seen him play in Kansas City. I've seen a lot of CBEs where it was where you could get tickets to support KU. You got to think. KU is the road team in their own postseason tournament. They're a road team. I don't know if KU basketball is an example we should be using in terms of basketball support here locally. Sure, they go to Allen Fieldhouse to watch their team play. They ain't really going to T-Mobile Center to watch their team play. You guys even quit. You want to know how I know? You guys quit playing that little, you know, that little game you would play right before Christmas?
The
you know,
Jayhawk Invitational.
Yeah, you would always play at Oregon State. Like, you, why am I in T-Mobile Center right now on the 28th of December when I should be spending time with my family, but yet I'm here watching KU play Washington at 4 o'clock. Yeah, you guys were like, no, stop it. We're tired of doing this. We don't want to do this anymore. You know who plays in Missouri? K-State. K-State loves T-Mobile Center. Have you been to one of their games at T-Mobile Center? Packed.
That was the Nebraska game last year.
Yeah, packed.
I got tickets to that one, yeah.
How much were they? Somebody gave them to you?
Oh, no, it was a station deal. I didn't pay for that. Come on now. You think I paid to go watch K-State Nebraska basketball in 2022? Come on.
No, I just was wondering.
It was, I guess, 2023, excuse me. I wasn't spending American currency like, ooh, Arthur Kaluma, here we go.
That was Rob that made fun of K-State basketball. I didn't make fun of K-State basketball. I didn't make fun of them. Has Nebraska still not won an NCAA tournament game? They still over?
Yeah, they lost it last year. Yeah.
They've been playing the tournament for a long time. People make fun of Missouri for not making the Final Four. They've at least made the tournament and won games. Nebraska's never won a game in the tournament. Talk about embarrassing. My goodness. All right, coming up on the other side, 913-586-7965. I have some Chiefs stats that I want to give to you. We are now at the kind of midway point in the season. The Chiefs have played 7 games. There's been 8 weeks in the NFL season. I think these numbers are going to be pretty encouraging. I'll share them with you next. Keep right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Rob, why didn't you notify me of a major news story? See, I'm a little frustrated with you now. You weren't listening earlier during the production meeting when I said, let's highlight underappreciated candies, and then you said bottle cap. There's a reason why bottle caps is underappreciated, because no one likes bottle caps, but you do for some very odd reason. And then we have major news, and you didn't tell me? You didn't tell me that Bob Costas retired from play-by-play broadcasting duties? Bob Costas is done doing baseball. Do you think that this show is the reason that Bob Costas had retired? Do you think that maybe Bob Costas was preparing for Royals and Yankees? And he was thinking to himself, man, you know what? Let me look up some top sports talk shows in Kansas City, because I want to know what they're saying. And do you think it's possible that Bob Costas heard us say that he was Emmitt Smith playing for the Arizona Cardinals? And do you think that he was like, man, maybe those guys are right. Maybe I am done. Maybe I am cooked. Maybe I should be doing something different with my time. Maybe this play-by-play thing isn't for me anymore. Maybe I should just do the Olympics. Once every 4 years, I pop up and I tell you an amazing story about Simone Biles. Maybe Bob Costas can call an NBA game. I'd be down for Bob Costas calling an NBA game. Bring the old gang back together. Where's Ahmad Rashad at? You didn't tell me that Bob Costas announced. I mean, he couldn't wait for baseball season to end. Baseball season was over. I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm never calling another baseball game. Congratulations, Bob Costas, on an incredible career. I say that seriously because I think you're one of the greats. I think you're a legend. I think you're the GOAT. I'm happy that you made this decision, though. It was sad watching you go out the way that you did in the Royals and Yankees series. I don't want to hear it again. I don't want any more of these.
Hit to short. Witt gets the force. Can they turn two? Yes, they can, and it's just the point we were making. It's not Giancarlo's fault. A near base hit, couldn't beat it out at the other end, turns into a double play.
Bob Costas saw his Yankees lose in the World Series and just couldn't take it anymore. Bob Costas saw them blow that 5-0 lead yesterday in Game 5 of the World Series and said, I'm out.
His ongoing postseason struggles. Here's a drive to deep left field. Does it have enough? It does not. At the edge of the track, Melendez takes it.
Salute Bob Costas on an incredible career. Bob Costas announced earlier today that Bob Costas is retiring from Major League Baseball play-by-play broadcasting. He is stepping away from the microphone, Rob.
Do you think he stepped away, or think his bosses heard those games and was like, Bob, it might be time. It might be time. It may have been a collaborative conversation that they were like, it's time to, because I saw the release. He will continue to work at MLB Network as an analyst in special projects.
There's a lot of stuff that Bob Costas can do.
He could be Tom Rinaldi. Oh. He would be great at being Tom Rinaldi.
He could be Jeremy Shapp. Why don't you have Bob Costas do an E60? I would love a Bob Costas E60. I'd love a Tom Rinaldi, a little think piece. Tell me a little bit more about Aaron Judge's personal life. Tell me how Aaron Judge pops used to throw pitches to him in the backyard and they made a homemade pitching machine and that's how he became such a great hitter. Tell me more of those stories, Bob. I just don't ever want to hear you call a game again. Please. Thank you. He's done. He's out of here. Bob Costas, retired. I want to give you guys a couple of numbers here. Not that many numbers, just a couple of numbers. I'll let you tell you that the Chiefs, they're kind of the exact same team that they were last year. I don't say that as a negative, like they haven't improved or anything. I say that is this is their first seven games last year. We've already seen them play seven games, and we know that there was a lot of growth in the second half of the season. They started to develop Rashee Rice. They started to eliminate Sky Moore's role in the offense in the second half. They eliminated Kadarius Toney's role in the second half of the offense. The Chiefs' offense, it didn't all the way fix itself in the second half, but it certainly improved. Well, in the first seven games last year, the Chiefs averaged about 390 yards of total offense. They're at 350. In the first seven games last year, they averaged 25.4 points per game. They're now at 24.7, so basically the same. From a defensive standpoint, they're almost identical to where they were last year. They gave up 294 yards in the first seven games on average. They have given up 295. They gave up 15 points per game in the first seven games last year. They have given up 16 points per game so far in the first seven games this year. The 2023 Chiefs and the 2024 Chiefs seem very identical. And that should be encouraging, especially given the fact that they've only gotten 34 carries from Isaiah Pacheco so far this year. Rashee Rice has missed, what, the last five games for the Kansas City Chiefs. You have not had Hollywood Brown. You would presume in the second half of this year, you're going to get Isaiah Pacheco back, and he's going to be a major factor of what you do. You assume that you're going to get Hollywood Brown back for the second half of the season. You assume that you're going to get more from DeAndre Hopkins than you got in the first game as he gets on the field more and feels more comfortable in the offense. So the fact that through the first seven games of last year and the first seven games of this year, the numbers are so comparable should really excite you about what I think the growth can be with this offense in the second half of the season. I'm not really sure if your defense can be too much better than what it's been so far. You're giving up 16 points per game. I don't think you're now going to be in a defense that gives up 11 points a game. There's not a big jump that I think you can take offensively. But there is a jump that you can take offensively by getting Isaiah Pacheco back, getting Hollywood Brown into this offense, and seeing more of DeAndre Hopkins. There is a lot of reasons to be optimistic, Rob, about the second half of the season as the Chiefs, you would hope, get healthier down the stretch.
I mean, that's the hope. The health comes. I know Andy Reid spoke today. He said Isaiah Pacheco is progressing nicely. He said the same thing about Charles Omenihu. Did not give a timeline on either one of those guys will be back. But that's a positive step. The fact the defense has been doing this for, 25, 24 regular season games now is really impressive work. Like, when we pulled the numbers, I thought to myself, maybe the defense would be rounding into form late last season, kind of how the offense was, because that's when the Chiefs kind of turned it around and went from a middling team to suddenly a Super Bowl contender and a team that then won the Super Bowl. But the fact that Spagnuolo's group has done that consistently is really, really impressive. But the glass half full look, you point out, hey, they start to get healthier, they start to figure it out offensively. But it isn't lost on me. There's a little bit of a concern, a dash, a paprika, whatever, of concern that the offense, which was last year bad, is bad again. Like, this is Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes' unit. We should not be talking about them as the lesser of the two units on the Chiefs. That should not be how it works. I don't want to flash back to 2018, where the Chiefs' offense was world beaters and the defense couldn't stop me, you, and Bink. Like, that's not what I want. But the fact that the offense, last year was bad by their own standards, and Mahomes is worse so far this year, and the offense, partly due to health, is worse again, is somewhat concerning to me, because that's not the trend line that group should be on.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, isn't Hollywood out for the season? Outside of some Instagram posts, why are people assuming that he is coming back? We had a doctor on the show earlier in the week, and he believes that Hollywood Brown is going to be back. I have sort of been targeting the game around Christmas for Hollywood to come back. If he comes back for the Christmas game, he plays in two regular season games before the postseason. There is an extended time if you believe that this team is going to be the one seed. Mitch Holtis actually gave us this stat that if the Chiefs get the one seed from the end of the Christmas Day game until their first postseason game, whenever that could be, they will play one game between them. I mean, I guess it'll be 24 days between them. Maybe that's a better way of putting it. Obviously, it'd be one game. That's the final game of the regular season. From when you think they are going to play in the postseason to the Christmas Day game, it could be 24 days in between. So I think there's just a lot of time for the Chiefs to get healthy. I think there's a lot of time for the Chiefs to get right. And I believe that Hollywood Brown is coming back. I could be wrong, but just based on how I think the Chiefs have been moving, based on what you have heard from people that kind of know, I think that Hollywood Brown is probably going to start practicing in the next month. And I think closer towards the middle, towards the end of December, I believe that Hollywood Brown is going to be back practicing and playing for the Kansas City Chiefs. It is just a shoulder injury. There's nothing else that we know is wrong with Hollywood Brown. I think he's coming back before the end of the regular season. We can keep this conversation going on the other side. There's a lot of positive numbers around the Chiefs right now. Keep it right here, so drive.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.